So as a kid, Looney Tunes was kind of the best thing on TV. When I was at a friend's house or grandparents or wherever, I would always try to make time for it, make a place for it, find it, watch it. I gotta admit, Pepe Le Pew is probably the guy that I related to the most. And I know that sounds creepy, especially coming from somebody saying when they were a kid, but the romantic, the eye for love, if you will. first girlfriend was kindergarten. I was the little Romeo, you know. I knew I wanted to be married. I know that's always attributed to girls dream about. I didn't dream about my wedding or nothing, but I wanted a wife. I liked having girlfriends and, the pursuit. I always had this concept of what a wife would be. You know, my dad used to, no, not used to, still does tell this joke on me, that we had a lot of missionaries come to our church. You know, my dad being a pastor and us being independent Baptist missionaries came by. We got to see missionaries. They got to come and present the work that God had for them. And invariably, if they had a daughter, by the time they left town, I was telling Dad, I think God wants me to marry that girl. You know, I'm talking like when I was, 8, 9, maybe 7. I've always had this thought of love. You know, God put it within us, to love and to pursue the opposite sex. God ingrained that within us. Nothing unpure here, what I'm describing. But this concept of a wife, I'm going to marry this girl. I had this girlfriend named Toya when I was in the fourth grade, and I knew I was going to marry this girl. I had her name carved in the wood lining of my sock drawer. I wrote her name in the back of one of my first Bibles. I love Toya. Spelled her name wrong and all, so you know it was real love. But this concept of a wife. I had a girlfriend in high school that, I think at one point I even tried to trap her with, we'll just get married and that'll stop your plans. Love makes us do really stupid things. And even if we don't understand what love is, at the time, and we identify it improperly, love is, I think we do that a lot. I love, see, there you go. I just did it. I like what one has said about, I love my wife, but I love tacos. We maybe don't properly define things. But even that may be this concept of a wife I had down pat. I wanted that. I couldn't wait for that. A lot of you know my wife, Teresa, and so it's really cool to me that when I met her and then we began talking and then I reverted to a stupid guy and kind of blew my first chance with her because I was acting dumb, and then this godly young lady wrote me a letter one time and asked me to forgive her, that she felt like she possibly had offended me and that's the last thing she wanted. She was sorry. And I'm going to tell you, guys, those especially who are just playing the church game and what, you don't know what to do with that. You just know, that's that's somebody that I need in my life. So I asked her to be my girlfriend, and she said yes, you can ask both of us. We both thought that it would last about a week or two weeks tops, maybe, and then we just probably wouldn't work out. And that's a great premise to start a relationship on. We've both since then told our children, you know, that's stupid, don't do that. You can't pick who your heart falls in love with. You can't pick how your emotions go. You can't. I never ever thought Teresa Hare would be Teresa Hare. I thought she'd be Teresa Christopher, and she'd be in my life for a couple weeks, and then she'd be a memory. But I fell in love with her. And now this childhood concept of a wife suddenly had a name and a face. And it's beautiful. It's better than I could ever have imagined it. Once I called love and foolishly sought after to claim as my own, I now have, and I have a deeper understanding than I could ever have had back then. That describes even my love with Teresa, that it has just grown and gotten deeper and deeper. And I can't say enough about Teresa. You guys don't want to listen to a podcast where I go on and on about my wife, but I just have to tell you that when my wife changed from being a concept to a relationship that was real, that had a name, it changed my life. I thought of this analogy when I was studying in 1 John chapter 4, and it's talking about in verse 10 that Jesus is our propitiation. He's our covering. He's our He's what makes us right. And the Greek word for propitiation, you find, I believe, two different words in the New Testament. You find hilasterion. And I'm butchering that pronunciation, but look it up. It's in Romans 3 when propitiation is used. And God is talking about that He is using Christ as our propitiation. And that word there is hilasterion. And it means a covering. And and the connotation would have been exactly meant for the people He was talking to, because the same word for the covering would have been used for the Ark of the Covenant. It's a neuter Greek word, and it's a lid, an object, and it's the word used for the mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant. It would have been a picture for them. Now they would have been explained, and they would have been made to understand that this covering is necessary. It was more than just a lid on the Ark of the Covenant. That is where the blood was applied. And that is where God came and rested and met with man. And so you have this idea of this lid, this covering, this idea of a covering. In Romans 3, and I believe in Hebrews 4, this word is used, and it's a covering, a lid. But then in 1 John chapter 4, it goes from hilasterion to hilasmos. The same word, 410, propitiation. And it's not a neuter. It's in the masculine. Because it's more than a concept of a covering. They would have understood the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, the lid that covered. That is where they met with God, and that Jesus was that covering. God was going to use His Son as that covering. But then in 1 John 4, to me, in my mind, it just became so much more personal. because that lid gets a name and a face. It's not just a covering. It's not just an act of being covered. And now it's a relationship. It's Jesus. Just as before in my life, I had the concept of a wife and I wanted that. I now know so much deeper in that Teresa is my wife. And she has a name and a face, and it means so much more to me than the concept ever did. And when it comes, I love my wife, and she pales as an illustration of Jesus, but just bear me out. To know that Jesus is a sacrifice for my sin, that God was going to use his son. Let's just say he's going to use his son. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." But as I go on and we learn and we hear about this son, I remember growing up and hearing about this son that God would use to show the world how much he loved us. And God used this word propitiation to show that it's a lid, it's a covering. Use this as a covering. I'm going to meet with you and I'm going to atone for your sins. It gets personal. It's not just my son. He is Jesus. And it's not just a covering, it's a relationship that we're in. It's not just this clinical saving that we have. It's this Christian walk that he calls us to. It's Christ-like walk that God wants us to join in with him, and we join in with him through Jesus Christ. I talked about this the other day about seeing the trees instead of just the forest. And in our relationship with God, he's not just our covering, he's not just our salvation. He's Jesus. And I pray that if you don't know him, that you can move from just knowing about him to knowing him. A lot of people know about Jesus. Maybe you listening this morning, maybe you know about Jesus. Do you know him? That's what he wants. He doesn't want to be a part of our life. He wants to consume us because he is what is best for us. A wife is not just simply a part of your life. It is a partner with which you go through life together with. The Bible says become one flesh. In other words, when you join with a wife, it's like a new metal is formed. Like two separate metals are poured together and a new alloy, a totally different separate alloy is formed. And so it is with Christ. And I come with all my nothing. I have nothing to add to this equation but my sin. And he comes with my atonement and my covering and my forgiveness. And I join my life with him, and together I am him. Paul said, "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." I don't want to live. I want to live in him. It's personal. It's a relationship. I beg you, if you don't know him, if he's just a concept, if he's just a thought, you just know about him, please plug in to a Bible teaching church. Plug into Bible preaching ministries and get to know this Jesus. He's everything. God, I love you. Thank you for your love for me. Thank you that it's a relationship with Jesus and not just this high-minded thinking. Not just morality and not just a way of life, but God, it is life. You said you've come that we might have life, and we might have it more abundantly. God, I pray that those who are seeking you will find you. God, I love you. In Jesus' name, I ask these things. Amen. Got it. Guys, have a great day. Sorry I went a little long, but wow.